Amen. Let us continue to worship our God by giving our attention to His Word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 18. This evening we continue in our series in Deuteronomy, and here in chapter 18, verses 15 through 22, Moses was continuing in his labors to prepare the next generation of Israelites to enter the promised land. Dr. Jerby mentioned our graduates, and we're so thankful for them. See a few of them here this evening. And, you know, it's very similar. What Moses was doing here is very similar to a commencement speech or a baccalaureate sermon delivered to graduates. He was delivering these words of wisdom, words of truth, words of life to those who were about to graduate from the wilderness into the promised land, about to enter this new, exciting, adventurous chapter of life. And Moses was seeking to equip them to do so successfully to the honor and glory of God. And so we read what he had to say in this baccalaureate address in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to the Lord once again in prayer. Our great prophet, our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, speak to us afresh from your word. By your Spirit's power, fuel our spiritual life. Enable us to listen to you, Lord Christ, and equip us to speak for you, to the honor of God our Father through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As we've seen in recent weeks in this Moses' baccalaureate address to these graduates, these students, if you will, the next generation preparing to graduate into the promised land, Moses was instructing them concerning the types of leaders they were to have once they settled the promised land. Everything rises and falls on leadership. As leadership goes, so goes the people. So Moses has been laboring to communicate the types of leaders that Israel was to have once they entered the promised land. He told them what types of judges they were to have, what kind of kings they were to have, and more recently, what types of priests they were to have. And we saw how these ideals for judge, king, and priest were ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All the judges, kings, and priests of Israel were fallen human beings. They were not perfect. The perfect ideal of these offices was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this evening we will consider this other ideal, the ideal of a prophet for Israel, and how Christ fulfilled that ideal as well. It's like you learned in Sunday school. The answer is always Jesus. It all points to Jesus. He's the fulfillment of every bit of the Old Testament. And we see that once again right here in the passage before us this evening. So this evening, 2 points. First, the prophets who came after Moses. And second, Christ, our final prophet. First, the prophets who came after Moses. Moses told the Israelites that God was going to raise up a prophet like him from among them. Just like with the kings and the priests, the prophet to come was to be one of their brothers, a fellow Israelite, a prophet like Moses. We had read earlier of Moses, and it's repeated in the New Testament, that Moses was faithful in all God's house. So this is going to be a prophet who is going to be faithful, and who's faithfully going to relay the truth of God, truth from another world, communicated in such a way that the people of this world can understand it and be left without excuse regarding it. A prophet like Moses. What is a prophet? Well, a prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God and thus reveals the will of God to others. A prophet is someone who reveals the character, the will, and the salvation of God. Someone who reveals the character, will, and salvation, God's plan of redemption. The character, will, and salvation of God. Faithfully, accurately, on behalf of God. And in fact, there were many prophets who came after Moses, called by God to reveal the character, will, and salvation of God. We think of great prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and how God gave them His word for His people. Jeremiah spoke of God's word as a fire in his heart, or a fire in his belly, a fire in the inner man, a fire in his bones that he could not hold in. God had given it to him, given His word to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had to speak it. It's like Paul would say centuries later, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." That's the way Jeremiah felt. When God called him to be his prophet, he said to Jeremiah, "Whatever I command you, you shall speak." And the Lord put out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth and said to him, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." That is a prophet. One who is given the word of God by God Himself to proclaim, no matter what the personal cost. So Moses was telling the Israelites that God was going to raise up prophets like that. Prophets who were going to give them the word of God as Moses had given it to them. And they were to listen to these prophets and bring their lives into submission to what they said. Moreover, the Israelites needed to know that there would be false prophets in Israel. Those who were not actually called by God, but who would presume to speak in His name. They would, as it were, run when they weren't called. They would presume to speak in God's name. Of course, that was a violation of the third commandment. They were taking the name of the Lord their God in vain. They were claiming to speak His word with His authority, but they weren't really called to do that. And such presumption was punishable by death, as was speaking the name of another God, which was idolatry. Moreover, the Israelites were to discern who the true and false prophets were based on whether their prophecies were fulfilled. So those were some of the instructions that Moses gave pertaining to the prophets who were to come after him in ancient Israel. But more importantly, to our second point, Moses was not speaking primarily here about prophets, plural. He was speaking about a prophet, singular, the final prophet, Christ our Lord. Moses said, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him, this prophet, that you shall listen." So this word from Moses was not just for the next generation. God did not raise up the Lord Christ in that next generation. This word from Moses was for every generation until the coming of the Messiah. Each generation was to look with expectation for this prophet. And when he came, they were to listen to him. To borrow the language of John's prologue in the Gospel according to John, this prophet was going to come to his own, and his own were to know him and receive him. That's what Moses was saying here. When God raises up this prophet, you are to receive him, you are to listen to him, you are to submit to him. He's the long-promised prophet. And when Jesus did come, he did things and he spoke things that signified, they were signs that he was this long-promised prophet. For example, in John chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000 miraculously, multiplied the loaves and fishes given to him by a little boy, shows you just give the Lord what you have and you let him do the rest. You offer the Lord whatever you have and you entrust it to him and let him multiply it. And Jesus supernaturally did that here. When he multiplied those loaves and fishes and fed the 5,000 with them, what did the crowd say? They said, "This indeed is the prophet." Not a prophet. "This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world." In other words, they perceive that Jesus was not just a prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, or even John the Baptist. Those prophets were preparatory. Jesus was the fulfillment, the great and final prophet that Moses foretold in Deuteronomy 18. And similarly, in John 7, at the Feast of Booths, Jesus told the crowds gathered there about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And the people responded by saying, "This really is the prophet." Again, not just a prophet, the prophet promised by Moses. Thus, the writer to the Hebrews said this in chapter 1 and verse 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Indeed, in those verses, we hear the so-called three offices of Christ. He is the prophet who has perfectly revealed the glory of God, the character, will, and salvation of God. He is the priest who made purification for our sins, and he is the king who is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the all-sufficient Savior of all who will trust in him. Thus, St. Peter explicitly preached to the Jews in Acts 3 that Christ was the one that Moses foretold when he said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. That was Peter's message. The one that Moses foretold has come. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God has raised up from the grave, thereby assuring us that he is that prophet that Moses foretold. And in Acts chapter 7, St. Stephen said the same, that faithful deacon of the church, church's first martyr, he said the same before he was put to death. This Jesus is the prophet whom Moses promised long ago. The question is he our prophet? Is he your prophet? Is he my prophet? Do we listen to him in our hearts and in our lives? As our New Testament told us from Luke 9, at the transfiguration of our Lord, Moses and Elijah appeared, these great prophets of old. And they spoke with Jesus about his departure, as verse 31 put it. Now we lose something of the meaning in that translation. In the original, it is the Greek word Exodus. So here you have Moses and Elijah speaking to Jesus about his Exodus that was to come. That's ultimately what we celebrate, especially today, his ascension, his departure into glory. But what was meant by this term Exodus? They were talking about the fact that through his sacrificial death as the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, and through his victorious resurrection and ascension into glory, his departure, his exodus into glory, Jesus was going to bring about a better exodus than Moses had. Not just a geopolitical exodus, but more amazingly, an eternal exodus from bondage to sin, death, and the devil. Through Christ, we have an eternal exodus, an eternal emancipation from those slave masters, sin, death, and the devil. And thus, Christ is to be revered as our ultimate prophet. Not Moses, not Elijah, but Christ. As the Father said, "This is my Son, my chosen one, my beloved, listen to him." He's echoing the very words he gave Moses to say in Deuteronomy chapter 18 when he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." So what is the Father saying? He's saying, this is the prophet that Moses was foretelling. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, sometimes when you go into a court of law that still says these things, when the judge comes in, you'll hear this voice, "Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay," or "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." Listen to this judge. He's the one who's in charge here. So you give him respect. You call him your honor. Or as in British law for centuries, as judges were called, your worship. You give him the honor due his station. You treat him according to his worth as judge. What did the Father say at the Transfiguration? "Hear ye him." You listen to my Son. He is the great sovereign. He is the long promised prophet with all authority. You listen to him. You follow his will. And that word is the same for us. The Father says to each one of us tonight, "Listen to my Son, that it may go well with you. Listen to my Son." The ascended Christ is still our prophet. He still speaks through the worship and witness of his church, through his gospel, read, preached, sung, prayed, and administered through his sacraments, and through our witness in our daily lives. So I close with two questions. First, are you listening to Jesus as the Father has told us to do? In other words, is Jesus your prophet in your daily life? In a world full of competing voices, is Jesus' voice the loudest in your life and in your heart? Is his voice the most compelling? Is he the one that you are listening to and heeding in your life? And second, as you listen to Jesus, are you speaking for Jesus? As Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10:27, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." As the Lord speaks to you in moments like these, he calls you to speak those wonderful truths of his glory and his love into the lives of others with words of encouragement, healing, and hope. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you speaking for him? May we be able to say yes and yes more and more in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.